Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Wenninger back on the show. He's also the author of the upcoming book, On Thin Ice. More information at jeffwenninger.com or onthinicebook.com. We also have crowd favorite, Dan De La Cruz from Compliant Technologies. You probably recognize him. If he looks familiar, you recognize him from those videos where he's got a glove on one or both hands, and he's taking them down. You know, if you go to complianttechnologies.com, and they're our satellite sponsor, by the way, the glove is my favorite product. And they got quite a few products out there, but my glove is their favorite product, or my favorite product that they have. It's just taking the country by storm. So check that out. So thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Galls at Galls.com. As I've already mentioned, ComplyTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we got on satellite radio on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. It's been great. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. They are back. GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're streaming the pages with 1.5 million people right now. TwoBells.com, they built our new online store at Leo Roundtable. We are doing a Two Bells giveaway today. So if you want to win that $20 off, the first $20 that you spend on our online store is on them. And they're going to give away free coolie as well. And for the video portion of the show, I'm holding the coolie up. So all you have to do is type in the number 2, the letter B for Bell, and give us your email address if you're watching the stream and order to be entered in for that drawing. Also, fishorlandobass.com. It's a fishing charter in the Orlando area. So Dan De La Cruz, if you're taking the wife and the kids, you know, to Disney, and you know, you're not really into the whole Disney rainbow thing, all you have to do is drop the wife and kids off, or the grandkids, and you hop on the fishing charter and go out with them and fishorlandobass.com. Or if you're really game, they've got the alligator hunting, and you catch and release alligators, which is pretty cool. And you don't know what you're going to get. So you get a call and they want you to grab an alligator that's on, you know, like Disney property or somewhere else, someone's driveway. I mean, they're everywhere here in Florida, right? You can't get to your front door. You got an alligator there. It could be a 6-footer, could be a 4-footer, could be a little, you know, 2-incher, you know, so it's good stuff. So fishorlandobass.com, and check them out, guys. And, you know, just to whet the appetite for the show, what in the world are we going to be talking about? We're going to start with our main topic here. Trump launches Liberation Day in D.C. He deploys the National Guard in "Take Our Capital Back" is the slogan. So we're going to be talking about that, taking over the D.C. police force. And there were some people that said it couldn't be done, but sure enough, they found a way to do it, and it's backed up by federal law. Then we've got former Miami Heat employee charged for selling $2 million in stolen gear. I kind of took this one. This is such the guy's doing, it's a bad former cop doing a bad thing, but it's pretty impressive what he was able to pull off. I mean, you know, even though it's wrong, there's just, you have to have some respect for what, for the ideas people come up with it and how to break the law. And I'm glad he got caught, but we're going to be covering that. And I'm going to jump down the video 4 here, which is what Dan De La Cruz wanted to cover. Rincon police, they released body cam footage after a viral video arrest of a shoplifting suspect. This is an application that would have been perfect for the glove. We also have a Pomona police detective shoots a suspect who presented a replica gun during a foot chase. And we've got another story with a video component. Surveillance video shows a fatal crash between a 79-year-old bicyclist and a Martin County deputy. The agency's backing the deputy, saying he did nothing wrong. So you guys, you know, can be the judge. Former Georgia correctional officers, plural, indicted after an inmate dies from smoke inhalation. And then we got a Houston police officers fatally shoot a suspect who broke into an apartment and assaulted a woman. So and I also said we got a former police commission leader. They get $75,000 and a new 6-figure job as well in Cleveland, Ohio. So that's what we got. So if you guys are ready, we've got about 6.5 minutes before we go to our first commercial break. So let's go ahead and start with the main topic here. RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media, Trump launches Liberation Day in D.C., deploys the National Guard to take our capital back. So this happened on Monday. He announced a sweep. Now, look, he's been hinting about this since last weekend when we had something really bad happen there in D.C. And it's just, and it's not just like a singular bad event. It just, D.C. is known for having, you know, except for Police Week, when you have 25 to 40,000 cops descending on Washington, D.C., It's a freaking nightmare. So he threatened federal intervention in Washington, D.C., aimed at addressing the violent crime, gang activity, public disorder in the nation's capital. This was reported in the New York Post. And then the move includes deploying the National Guard to city streets and placing the Metropolitan Police under temporary federal control. This is a lot of stuff that people did not know. You're allowed for up to 30 days at a time to place the D.C. Police Department under federal control, which is just brilliant. Speaking from the White House, President Trump cited the district's persistently high crime rate in a recent August 3rd incident in which a former Department of Government Efficiency or DOGE staffer, and that was the dude, Big Balls, he was attacked while trying to stop an attempted carjacking by a group of 10 teens. He threw his girlfriend in the car for safety, and the guy got beat to a pulp. But the dude's a stud. Trump noted that the D.C. National Guard, it falls under his direct authority, unlike the National Guard units that are in the states, which are controlled by the governors. But he said that if necessary, active duty military personnel will also be deployed to assist law enforcement. And he's using the District of Columbia Home Rule Act of 1973. And according to that, he can direct the Metropolitan Police Department for federal purposes for up to 30 days at a time. He said the move was part of a broader goal to make the city one of the safest, cleanest, and most beautiful cities anywhere in the world. He announced that the homeless encampments, too, they're gone in the public areas and parks and underpasses. He's removing those. And I believe it was SCOTUS that ruled recently that he could do that. He says, we have slums here. We get rid of them. I know it's not politically correct. And you'll say, oh, so terrible. No, we get rid of the slums where they live. Caravans of mass youth rampage through the city streets at all times of the day. So he's looking to eliminate that problem as well. Now, there is a mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, and that mayor has implemented some curfews in parts of the city, trying to get the minors off the streets, and has argued that the crime rates are falling. But Trump disputed those claims, reported statistics as being phony. And look, we've had people coming out saying that they're stacking the stats, right? Look, even at my agency in Tampa, we went through a period where they changed the way they calibrated the stats for UCR, uniform crime reports that are, you know, that the FBI controls. And so you can play a numbers game with stats all day long, and it's not hard to make it look like, you know, your stats are lower. You know, you've got a two block area where you've got 10 auto burglaries, and you decide to make, you know what? It's really one incident, because instead of counting as 10 different singular auto burglaries, it happened around the same time, same group of people, you know, the same two block area. It's just one incident. You know, that's kind of the numbers games that you can play. Now, Attorney General Pam Bondi will be reviewing the data, framed the crackdown as both a law enforcement and a public safety measure, signaling that it would remain in effect until violent crime, gang activity, public disorder are significantly reduced. And remember, they can keep renewing every 30 days as long as they need to. And there is some talk that with this latest crap that came out with Chuck Schumer and the implications with him, there is some thoughts that maybe Trump will take the opportunity, since he's got control of the police department and any public uprisings because of any members of Congress that are going to be indicted or going to jail, that might be a good opportunity for him to get that done too. So what do you guys think about this? We got about 2.5 minutes almost before we come to our first commercial break. All right, Jeff Wininger, you're up first, buddy.
Well, I guess I'd like to start out just with the statistical data that you're talking about. But oftentimes, you can really make them, this data say whatever you want it to say, just like you said. And sometimes the FBI uniform crime reporting criteria is different than how you capture it within your organization and those sorts of things. So really, the measure of how safe a community is the perception of the people that live, work, and, you know, are entertained there. And that's really the measure of the safety of a community or a city, because the statistics just aren't all that credible. You know, that being said, I don't think that this is a speaks poorly of the police department. I believe that the issues there deal with a pendulum that has swung a little too far left in regards to how it addresses crime. And the police department is only one aspect of the law enforcement efforts to deal with the crime. You have to be holding people accountable. And a huge problem in DC is the holding accountable of the juveniles. There's a lot of juvenile crime that's running rampant. And they say that they're addressing it and that they have these curfews in place, but You know, I'll give you a perfect example. There's a curfew zone for juveniles where they can't be out after 8 p.m. Sounds great, doesn't it? However, an aspect of it is there has to be more than eight congregated together. So you're telling me that eight or seven or six juveniles congregating together cannot cause problems or be a significant crime concern. So it's really implementing things that really don't have an effective or practical application for enforcement. So, you know, it's a very, very complex and multifaceted issue.
Well, all right, guys. Well, thanks, Chef. Perfect timing. I don't know where that commercial break came up from, but we're doing a commercial break for Gauls. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we know we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online mix into it, the choices are almost endless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know if a company does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proudly serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and I mean dozens, of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please consider going to our title sponsor at Gauls.com. And hey, I was just talking about, I just ordered a pair of new boots, waterproof. They're Danner boots. They got a great look to them. I can't wait for them to arrive. So go to Gauls.com and check it out. They also have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card from Gauls.com, and they'll be your new best friends. Again, that is Gauls.com. Check them out. I think you guys will be glad that you did. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And, of course, that is Dan's company. And, you know, guys, look, you know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, first responders, and corrections. They're Eagle Protect nitrile gloves. They offer 4-hour fentanyl and saline protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And they continue to kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. And when safety is non-negotiable, trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how to equip your team today by going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that's ComplianTechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Weninger, and also Dan Dela Cruz from Compliant Technologies with the glove. We've been talking about President Donald Trump basically taking over the D.C. police force, Metro Police, and doing it at 30 days at a shot. And apparently, Attorney General Pam Bondi is now in charge, can hire and fire at the D.C. Police Department. I understand that they've already had one firing, and I haven't heard the reason for that yet. I'm sure it's something spectacular. I trust Pam Bondi. Jeff Weninger.
Yeah, I think some of the challenges are going to be, you know, what's the operational efficiency going to be? What is the chain of command? And what actual functions and roles are the National Guard going to play in policing D.C.? And these are the things that are all having to play out. And, you know, I've got an inside line into a management level within the D.C. Police Department, and they're open to the National Guard. They're welcoming to the assistance. They're more than happy to have the extra visual presence of a law enforcement posture. And the problem is there's a lot of questions. They have no idea how it's going to proceed and move forward. Because this is good for 30 days unless they get approval from Congress, which is likely to occur. If they were to ask for it, I believe Congress would probably acquiesce with that. And it's just a matter of everybody working cooperatively together. The police department working with the federal agencies, as well as the mayor and the other aspects of the judicial system, all working together to find long-term solutions. Because deploying the National Guard for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, that's not the solution.
Right.
It's about giving it the boost of juice in the arm that's needed to get it up over the speed bump to moving the direction that it needs to be moving in. And that's going to require that all aspects of dealing with the criminal justice system are working hand in hand cooperatively to find solutions and improve things in DC. Because it is true there, although, you know, crime, I guess it depends on where you're getting the data, crime is going down there. But, you know, this is our nation's capital. And, you know, the optics of it should be pristine. So there's a homeless issue. There's crime with juveniles. I was there. My brother used to live there, and I was visiting him just a little over a year ago. And we were down by the Vietnam Memorial. And there's a gentleman that was running, and he was attacked by five juveniles that were on bicycles, and they beat him pretty good. And I policed for 30 years, over 30 years in Los Angeles, and I found that shocking. It was so brazen, but that's what they're dealing with there. So hopefully the National Guard can, with their presence, give them some stability, stifle this, and help them catch their breath, but that we find some meaningful solutions moving forward that we can put into place.
Well, thanks. Dan Dela Cruz.
I think it's great that they're doing something. I think his, I can't remember the exact words he used, but the comment, and it goes to what Jeff's saying about it being our state, our capital, is I think he said something about if you went to a restaurant and you walked in the front door and it was dirty, you have to assume the kitchen's dirty too. It's a mess too.
Good point.
So I think this is a great place to start something like this. And DC definitely needs something. And like what Jeff witnessed there while he was visiting, I mean, that's just incredible that can happen on a regular basis. And it is happening on a regular basis. So yeah, 30 days isn't going to be enough, but it's definitely somebody's actually doing something for the first time. So I'm very happy about it.
Now, let me just throw in that two observations. Number one, the police, and I've worked with a lot of different agencies, and I've traveled and met, especially with my former website, I met agencies and police leaders all over the world. I mean, countries all over the place. I was in 18 countries. I had over 500 agencies in 18 countries. Now that said, most cops I have found, they just simply want to do their job. They don't want to be restrained or held back. They want a good leader. They want direction. They just want to be allowed to do their job. And I'm not necessarily saying kick ass and take names, but if it comes to that, they're normally prepared to do that. And then with community relations, all that stuff. But all police leaders are not created equal either, though. And I really, unless there's something I'm unaware of where the leader over here, the mayor or the leader, the chief over in the DC area is not being given the tools, the resources to do their job. I would be looking for a replacement, something, you know, I mean, really, you look at like Portland, look at Oakland, look at San Francisco. And I'm trying to get out of California so I don't make Jeff feel bad.
Philadelphia, Memphis.
Thank you. And, even in Bob Kroll's Minneapolis, you know, neck of the woods, you know, so there's so many issues with police leaders in these types of Mayor Jacob Frey, in Minneapolis. You know, there's been so many historic problems with the leaders that are more liberal, and they simply don't want to make the decision to hold people accountable. That's really the big deal. So I'm hoping Trump at least supplies the blueprint in order for that to be done. I hope that we get a new leader that comes in that will be allowed to follow that blueprint in order to make things work. Bonnie knows what she's doing. She's from, you know, from this area, and was spectacular in what she did. And then she was Attorney General for Florida, got a lot of experience. She's, from what I understand, technically in charge of the House. So I think she put the right people in place to help get it done and give them the tools and hopefully the blueprint for what they do. So we'll see what happens, but. I expect to be covering it here on the show for at least the next 30 days. So,
well, this is unique to DC because Trump does not have the authority to impose the home rule in any other place other than DC.
Correct. So good point.
It is a different scenario. elsewhere.
Well, guys, we're going fast. Your second commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're talking about Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. You know, you can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. Tier 1, 2, and 3 rifles. You know, since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with the Solus bolt actions, and that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer. And their M5 AR three-way platform, nothing short of spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Now, if you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up, all about trespassing, August the 13th. You can sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Wininger and Dan De La Cruz from Compliant Technologies with the Glove. And we've been talking about Trump taking over the Metropolitan D.C. Police Department. And guys, I think we pretty much have exhausted that, so can't wait to see how well that works out. I have high expectations. If you guys are ready, we've got an update story that I wanted to cover. FoxNews.com, former Miami Heat employee charged for selling $2 million in stolen gear. Now, Jeff, haven't you done some protection services for some of these sports teams? And you've worked closely with some of these guys, right? So you can probably relate a little bit and maybe provide some inside stuff. So the Southern District of Florida U.S. Attorney's Office, they announced on Tuesday that a former Miami Heat security guard has been charged with selling stolen jerseys and other memorabilia worth up to $2 million. And so this guy's name, it's Marcos Thomas Perez. He's 62 years old of Miami, and he's a former Miami cop, by the way. He was charged with transporting and transferring stolen goods in interstate commerce. So that interstate commerce thing, they got him on that. So Perez, he's a 25-year retired veteran of the Miami Police Department, employed as a security officer with the Miami Heat from 2016 to 2021 for 5 years. And then he later worked as an NBA security employee from 22 to 25, according to the Department of Justice. Now, he was among a limited number of employees with access to a secured equipment room. And in that room, they stored hundreds of game-worn jerseys and other memorabilia that was meant to be displayed in a future Miami Heat museum. Now, Perez allegedly accessed the equipment room multiple times to steal over, and get this, 400 game-worn jerseys and other items, which he then sold to various online marketplaces, according to the press release. Perez allegedly sold a Miami Heat jersey worn by LeBron James during the NBA Finals for approximately $100,000. So he made $100,000 off this LeBron James jersey, and that same jersey was later sold at Sotheby's auction for $3.7 million. So that's an idea of what this guy was pulling off. The announcement also said that law enforcement executed a search warrant at his residence. There they jammed him up. On April 3rd, they seized about 300 stolen game-worn jerseys, I guess, that he hadn't sold yet, and some other valuable items. The Heat confirmed that the items had been stolen from the facility. The charging document said that Perez, our bad guy, sold the items to online brokers. And it goes on to say that over a three-year period, they say he sold more than 100 stolen items for approximately $2 million, shipped them across state lines, ding, 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 which would be the interstate stuff, often at bargain prices. So, yeah, this loser had the access and he had the mindset to do this. Jeff Wininger, your mic's not open, but you know I'm calling on you. You gotta provide us some inside scoop on this.
Well, I'm just shocked that he had the accessibility, and he obviously had enough trust of the people that he was working for to have this type of access to remove 400 jerseys. I mean, this isn't some small
operation. Yeah.
You know, operation that he's, you know, and to be honest, what is he thinking? I mean, did he not think that this could easily be tracked back to him, and that with his law enforcement career, we realized that he was committing some significant crimes, not just the theft, but the interstate going across the state lines and whatnot. He's in a hurt locker, but you know, stupid is as stupid does. I mean, what are you thinking? But I also have to sit there and scratch my head going, Miami Heat, I think you need a little bit more robust security systems. You should have been able to identify this long before 400 jerseys were actually removed from your storage location for this potential museum that they were going to create. But I just find it shocking. You know, I worked for the Dodgers and ran the Dodgers security at Dodger Stadium for 3 years. And it oftentimes worked into providing private security for some of the players, depending on what was going on and stuff. And, you know, I'm just shocked that as a professional sports organization that they didn't have better checks and balances to prevent something like this from happening.
Yeah, I mean, he was sitting on a lot of stuff at his house. I mean, that was pretty smart of them. It sounded like they did a jam-up operation, and that whole overstate lines thing really, really got him good. They wrote, I could only imagine being on that search warrant, going in that house and finding all the other stuff that he had that he hadn't moved yet. But he's probably wishing that he would have. Just crazy. And 25 years with the Miami Police Department, and it makes me wonder, you know, what he did when he was a cop, you know, I'm just kind of curious now. So,
It's probably a lot of his cases could be overturned.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
But you know, the craziest thing in this whole story though, Chip, is that someone would pay $3.7 million for a LeBron James jersey. I mean, this is a guy that undoubtedly is one of the best NBA players of all time, but you know, the guy's got no loyalty. You know, he came and left even twice, and he goes out there, he's just chasing his own personal, desire to be on an NBA championship team. And you know what? I don't have any respect for somebody like that. $3.7 million.
So you wouldn't pay that much for that jersey?
No.
Okay. No. All right. Well, look, moving along, there's a story that we're going to cover for Dan Dela Cruz here, and it's a video story about a shoplifting suspect. So at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, we have a Rincon Police Department. It's RINCON, so I might be butchering the name, but this police department, they released body cam footage after a viral video arrest of a shoplifting suspect.
Go stand in my car. Put your hands behind your back. You grab this taser and I'll fuck you up. Roll over and put your hands behind your back.
What am I doing? Am I arrested?
Yes, you are.
For what? What did I do?
It could have been cool when we explained this to you.
I was trying to be cool.
Where are you driving? What are you driving?
Mama.
What are you driving?
I got a call.
What are you driving?
I'm not driving.
How'd you get here?
Leave,
or you'll go to jail too.
Leave. I can't get him out the car.
Get out of here. Go.
He didn't do anything. Mama, they said to put me in cum. I'm pregnant.
Okay,
get off of me.
Let me go. I am fucking pregnant. So we're in Rincon is in Georgia, and the police department releases its body cam footage on Wednesday after a video of an officer allegedly using excessive force on a man spread widely on social media, which, of course, you know, happens, especially when you don't get the before and the after, right? So the incident occurred on Saturday, August the 2nd. Officers responded to a call from where else but Walmart staff stating that there was a shoplifting in progress at the store. So multiple suspects reportedly fled the scene in a vehicle, but they left two people behind at the Walmart. So officers, they arrive at the scene, and after they handcuff one of the suspects, we have Officer Buckner. He grabs a 33-year-old named James Williams. He grabs the guy's wrist and escorts him towards the patrol car. So you immediately, guys, should be thinking in your mind, you know, the glove, right? So and what they did and then what they could have done. So in the statement release, they say, hey, before they could make it to the patrol car, remember, the officer is controlling the bad guy simply by the wrist. The suspect pulls away from the officer, and then there's a struggle. The suspect says that he actually turns towards the officer. He shoves him backward, causing the officer to take the suspect to the ground to regain control. And in the official incident report, it says that the officer stated that he did not know if the suspect was armed, and he feared that he may be attempting to retrieve a weapon to do him harm. And then it goes on to say that the woman shown in the body cam video, who's all over the place during the fight, she was identified as Unique Garcia. They ended up arresting and charging her with obstruction, and the officer returned to regular duty on Wednesday. So let's go to what they're leaving out here. It kind of starts off in the beginning. It's a shoplifting call. And it, you know, at the 3-second mark, the officer goes hands on to escort the suspect to his cruiser. But 4 seconds later, the suspect resists. Officer takes him to the ground. And then at the 30-second mark, you clearly see the officer delivering strikes to the uncooperative suspect's head. And it looked like maybe to his body as well. He does a taser drive stun at 47 seconds. And he says, hey, you grab the taser and I'll F you up at the 53-second mark. The suspect becomes compliant when the female officer's there, and after the drive stun, and they handcuff him at 114. Officer refuses to answer the suspect's questions about why he's being arrested until after he's handcuffed. You know, a lot of officers make that mistake of getting that dialogue, and, you know, the bad guy's thinking about how he's going to get out of prevent from being handcuffed. At 217, the suspect complains about the use of force. But when females arrive to ask him about his injury, he says, I'm fine. I'm good to go. And it goes on to say that, the cops give the suspect a cigarette at the end. You know, so there's no hard cops, you know, turn it off and turn it on. And then the female that they arrested is using the I am pregnant excuse when they're trying to take her in the custody while they're fighting with her and try to get her handcuffed. So it's just a typical day at work for law enforcement. We got a minute and a half, guys. Dan De La Cruz, what could they have done differently had they had their agency been equipped with a glove?
This is just a simple application for us. And we see this all the time. This is a dangerous situation when they get somebody in a prone position, trying to get their arms out from under them, get them cuffed. We don't know what's in their waistband. The sooner their hands are out, the safer everybody is. And what you saw on video with him having a strike and shove his head to the ground, I mean, that's what it takes to get somebody to comply. But given our product, using the glove, a simple touch to that individual, their hands pop out really fast, and we usually have them under control in less than 3 seconds or so. And that keeps the emotion out of the fight too, which is important, because I'd like that officer not to get sued. I'd like him to keep his job or not have an issue because his suspect decided to give him a bad time.
I love it. And is it true that that Jeff Winninger, did you put the glove on Jeff Winninger yourself, or was it somebody else?
I'm so sorry I didn't get to. I'm hoping to see Jeff in Vegas, because I have a different application that I do.
Okay, I want to hear about that. Hey, guys, we're taking our next commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearner.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearner has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has come up with a great opportunity. If you have your own agency, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. So if you're a chief or a sheriff or command staff, go to gunlearn.com to get more information, gunlearn.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. So I believe when we left off, we were talking about a use of force, which would have been a great application, you know, for the glove. So more commentary on this, guys. We had a bad guy that they were taken into custody. They grab him by the wrist. They're escorting him back to the cruiser. He breaks away from the police officer. Officer is at least close enough to go to the ground. But now the guy, as Dan Dela Cruz brought up, he's got his hands tucked underneath his body. He's in a prone position, and you simply don't know what's going to come out. And we've had plenty of instances before where bad guys have pulled out guns or not even pulled them out. They fired them from underneath their body, and we've had multiple people get hit by a projectile. And so the officer had the bad guy simply by the wrist. Now, you can argue all you want about, you know, maybe should have had, you know, I always used to like to grab by the belt line or the belt loops or the waistband and a body part like an arm or a wrist. But in the case of the glove, I don't believe it really would have mattered much, right, Dan, as far as you have contact with skin and you got the glove. As long as the glove is activated, you should be good to go, correct?
Yeah, the response is pretty immediate, and it's they really have no control over responding. But at the same time, far less injurious than what you're going to see in that video. I mean, he would have been absolutely fine, but he would have complied much, much sooner. And that individual who was obstructing, same difference. One small little application of that person, they would have changed their mind and wanting to be involved.
Good, you know, good point. So I immediately think of two things after you say that. Number one, we're watching the officer having to do strikes, which most people, it doesn't look good for most people. I mean, I get it. Use of force never looks good, but he's having to do strikes that he almost surely would not have had to do if he just simply had the glove. So the officer did not have the tool that he needed, at least at this point in time, in order to avoid having to do all that and to take the risk factor out of it. Now we have a pregnant female they have to go 10-15 with because she's interfered, you know, with the arrest. And not only that, they're having to pay attention to her. I mean, they don't know whether she's going to pull out a gun, a knife, or whatever. So now their attention is divided. She throws out that it's that excuse, one of these excuses they use, you know, like I'm pregnant, thinking that that's going to make some difference. And so let's assume that she was pregnant. Let's just say that, you know, even though most of the time they're lying when they say that, let's just say that she was pregnant. Or let's say that she had a defibrillator, a pacemaker, or anything like that. Can you tell our audience what difference, if any, that would have made with the glove?
It would have caused no issue for the individual because the application, when we make that application, the stimulation is 100% topical. You only feel it on their skin. There's nothing going into the body. Everything happens in the palm of the hand, and you just feel it on your skin. Nothing goes internal through the body. It never passes the dermis. So we can't affect a defibrillator, a pregnant, a fetus, or anybody with a heart issue. If they're fighting with you, their heart rate's elevated anyways. That's not your fault or my fault. They're going to be elevated anyways, but at least they'll be able to recover from that. We're not sending electricity into the body to amplify that by any means.
Now, I had heard that there may be an application to stimulate hair growth by using that on someone's skull. I was just hoping that next time you have the opportunity in Jeff's in town, that we might be able to experiment with that theory, that, you know, and see if it could be a catalyst for hair growth.
Yeah, it usually starts with a 15-second application. And then
Jeff.
Hey, listen, I've resolved in the fact that bald is beautiful.
And people that are listening audibly, podcast, radio station, we love you. And so Jeff has shaved his head. I'm being kind when I say that. He shaved his head And I was I'm having some fun with that. So we're not going to be putting the glove on his head. But it is a fantastic law enforcement tool that we need to get in the hands of more law enforcement officers, because we want to protect both them and the bad guys. To be honest with you guys, to be completely honest, we want to lower liability and we want to protect the good guys and the bad guys. The glove is a product that will allow you to do that, and you still have access to lethal while you have the glove. So you don't have to take the glove off in order to have access to your lethal, you know, your firearm, whether it's a long gun or a pistol. You still have access. The glove will allow you to get your finger in the trigger guard and be able to depress a trigger if you have to go there too. So it's not like you're making a decision one or the other. You have access to all your tools of the trade, but the glove is just a nice one to start off with, because it's usually going to end the problem. You know, it'll usually solve that issue, and it will create the compliance. Whether the bad guy wants to comply or not, he's going to end up, as they describe, and I need to go ahead and have it done. But from what I understand, whatever thought is in your head or whatever you're formulating on a plan of escape or retaliation or whatever, it flies out of your brain. And you simply, the only thing you can even think about is simply doing whatever you can do to alleviate the discomfort that you're experiencing from the application of the glove, and you do whatever they tell you to do.
Well, Chip, I would suggest that there's no need for the National Guard in DC if the Metropolitan DC Police Department would use the glove. These juveniles would not want anything to do with it.
I hear you, and I like that.
They probably just run back to school, I think, stay there.
Wow.
That's what I would hope for. But in what you were talking about, Chip, that video I sent you earlier that's on YouTube now.
Yes.
If you get a chance to watch that and share it with Jeff and anybody else you want to share with, that tells this full story. And it shows, you know, me spending 10, 15 minutes with a young female who weighs about 100 pounds, is able to take down a Navy SEAL multiple times just by making a quick contact and a grab. And he speaks to it very clearly as to what he's experiencing every time he gets grabbed.
I love it. And that's what we need. We need to get more of that stuff out there. So thanks. Thanks for sending that. I will definitely do that. Guys, we've got less than 3 minutes. So I'm going to go with an update here. It won't take us much time to cover, but we're going to be in Georgia for this one. So Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. We have former Georgia correctional officers, plural, indicted after an inmate dies from smoke inhalation. And so I know the title's kind of benign. You're thinking, how in the world would that happen? Well, this federal grand jury indicted two former correctional officers. Notice I said former, from the Augusta State Medical Prison in connection with the death of an inmate that happened back in October 2020. So look, it's taken some time before the indictment. So we're talking roughly, what, four and a half years. The indictment returned on August 5th. It charges Robert Robertson and Marcus Phillips with violating the inmate's constitutional rights by showing deliberate indifference to a substantial risk of harm, which resulted in his death. Now, according to the indictment, our two corrections guys allegedly became aware of a smoldering fire in an inmate cell on October 28th of 2020. So, I mean, in reading this and knowing what these guys do, I suspect the inmate started the fire for whatever the purpose was. And instead of taking action to extinguish it, and evacuate the inmate or call for help, the officers were accused of willfully leaving the inmate in his locked cell for several hours, and he died of smoke inhalation. And the indictment alleges that Robertson, in addition to what happened, he falsified a logbook in an attempt to cover up the incident. And it's being investigated by the FBI, Augusta Resident Agency, prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Georgia, and the Justice Department Civil Rights Division. So these guys are in a world of hurt. And probably rightfully so on this. So commentary on this, guys. We got just over a minute. Jeff?
Yeah, Chip. I mean, I that's what I call, you know, culture eats training and policy and procedure for lunch. So if the culture of the organization or this custody entity that they work for is not aligned with the policies and procedures, with what they know they're supposed to be doing, then they're going to revert to what the culture allows them to do. And this is just a case where it bit them. I suspect this isn't the first time that they've violated policies or procedures relative to how they felt that they should actually handle something that's more driven by the culture than it is the policies and procedures and the training they've received.
I got you. And you're apparently right. Yeah, guys, thanks so much for doing the show. And I'm glad on the first video, Dan, that we got to cover a potential use for the glove and point out to our police commanders watching the show that just a matter of time, you're going to start going to court if you don't have it, and you're going to start getting sued or paying a price because you didn't have the tools the cops needed in order to do the job. And you're going to expose your officers in the agency to that liability. But thank you so much, Dan De La Cruz with Compliant Technologies, and also former LAPD Commander Jeff Weininger. Also, Jeff, I know you got your new book, and I know we're going to be making some announcements soon, but onthinicebook.com is where people can go to get more information on the book coming out. And also they can go to jeffweininger.com. So thank you so much and good luck. I'm so happy for you that you've got this coming out. It's got to be exciting. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in a world of hurt. So if you guys are looking for an organization to support that's not going to embarrass you, please consider the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And I want to shout out again to our sponsors, you know, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor, Two Bells. I'll get that new gift card that our listener just won, and then FishOrlandoBass.com. And thanks so much, guys, for watching the show. We'll look for you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.